Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Ahlan wa sahlan. Welcome to today's show. My name is Tasneem, and if you've just joined us, you are on Al-Dhikriyat with me, Sister Tasneem. Bismillah, alhamdulillah, in the name of Allah, all praise is due to Allah. Inna alhamdulillahi nahmadu wa nasta'inu wa nastaghfiru wa na'udhu billahi min shururi anfusina wa min sayyatina. We begin verily by praising Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and we begin by sending Allah's blessings upon His chosen messenger, Nabi Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Allahumma salli ala Muhammad wa ala ali Muhammad. Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Today we have a rather interesting segment planned for this afternoon. Inshallah, we will be discussing, carrying on from the last 2 weeks, how to support somebody that is going through grief. And the grief that we're focusing on today is supporting a friend or loved one through bereavement, grief, or loss, specifically the loss of a child. Inshallah, we'll be giving examples from the Sunnah, and later on in the show, we'll be interviewing Sister Zuleika from Durban, a mother who lost her child and started an online support group called Children of Jannah. Inshallah. We will also be going through some responses that I've received, overwhelming responses rather, from the ladies on these two support groups, Children of Jannah and Super Mums for Superheroes, inshallah. So, inshallah, you know, to Allah we belong and to Allah we will return, and death is inevitable. It's so difficult to even just speak about this topic. Death is our only reality. The sooner we realize this, the better for us. But what happens to the people we leave behind? You know, the mother-child bond is an amazing bond, subhanAllah. Allah compares His love to the mother, to this same bond, to this love between a mother and a child. And Allah says His love is 70 times more. But we know, you know, just imagine this love of a mother and her child. So losing a child is one of the most difficult things to have to go through. The loss can leave you feeling empty and alone. And this is the harsh reality of dealing with the death of a child. And inshallah, today we will be listening to, you know, the responses and dealing with and listening to how these ladies have been dealing with these difficulties and these challenges. But also us as a community, as sisters, as mothers, as friends, how can we support them? And if we ever faced in with a situation, let Allah save us and protect us from such pain and loss. But like I said, death is inevitable. But just equipping ourselves with the skills, with the knowledge and the tools, and inshallah empowering ourselves with the education and how to deal with such a grief and how to deal with such loss. So inshallah, before we begin today's show, I received an email from one of the sisters on the group, and it's such a beautiful email. It's actually one of the techniques we use in therapy called an unsent letter. And what this mother did, she wrote a letter to her dear son Yusuf, and I'd like to read it out to the listeners. And inshallah, whatever you're doing, I just need you to sit down and listen to the words and the pain in the words of this dear mother. So she starts off her letter with, "Dear Yusuf, I wish words could articulate how heavily your loss weighs on my heart. Even today, 12 years and 2 months and 5 days later, I wonder what I could have done to have saved you. What I could have done, what had I done wrong to have deserved this punishment in my life? How immature I was then to think that the Almighty would punish His creation in such a cruel way. It has taken me many years to accept that these tests that we undergo are truly tests. Ordinary deeds alone, following the 5 pillars of Islam, are not enough to grant us access to Jannatul Firdaus. Truly, with every hardship, with every burden, there comes ease. The test that makes us realize that despite all the knowledge we have, the ultimate decision maker is the Almighty. I miss you, my son. Inshallah, we will be reunited soon. But to have been told repeatedly, as your lifeless body lay shrouded in front of me, that I should make sabr, just made me more and more angry at the injustice of it all. To concentrate on my daughter that was turning 2 years old, and in 2 days' time, before your janazah was even lifted, to be preached to by people who had, you know, never endured something as unnatural and unexpected as the loss of a 3.2 kilogram handsome little baby boy made me shriek like a mad woman. I was not dignified in my grief. I was solo angry. The more people whispered their concern, condolences, the more angry I got. Your hair had been shaved for the IV lines that they had exhausted on your scalp. I had the remnants of your foreskin that needed to be buried along with your hair and the umbilical cord tag that had fallen off. My sister jokingly said, you held on to whatever little you could of him, didn't you? I questioned her sanity when she said it. If only I had known. If only I had known the rewards of losing a child in infancy. What did she mean? Did she honestly mean that she would have forsaken one of her children deliberately so that she could get her free ticket to Jannah? All of these things were said to me. When my mother-in-law, who had only come to see her first grandson in the hospital only 2 days after he was born, looked at me 2 days after the funeral and sadly said to me, you are a loser. And I answered, shocked and chilled to the core, what did you say? When she said it again, and she said, you lost my grandson. I think what shocked me the most was not that my husband, my brother-in-law, not that his wife, nor his father-in-law even thought of reprimanding her or chastising her. It was echoing. You know, they all echoed her sentiments. At that moment, I prayed for nothing but to be swallowed by the earth. Subhanallah, these are the words of a mother going through pain, and with that pain comes anger. And these are all, psychologically, we go through all these different stages when we experiencing grief. The minute grief normally hits us, the first feeling we normally feel is denial. And in that moment, Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam referred to these moments as sadamatil ula, because the way we behave in those initial moments is so, so critical. Let Allah give us the strength and the perseverance and the understanding to turn to him in those moments. But this is real, my dear mothers and sisters. This is the pain, this is the hurt, this is the type of comments that this sister heard when she had to go through her loss. So inshallah, let us educate ourselves today, and let us understand, let us learn how to respond to these women that are going through grief. Inshallah, the lines are open. The number to call is 011-854-1548. The number to SMS is 082-551-3885. So like the email said, you know, it's a common cultural belief that it's unacceptable to outwardly express grief. These women feel trapped in their grief. Some may even have been advised against crying or showing their emotion, and this is preventing them from sharing their heartbreak with others. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam suffered many losses in his lifetime, including 6 of his 7 children and his beloved grandchildren too. When Zainab radiallahu and her son was dying, she called for her father. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he came and he lifted the child, and you know, while his breath was disturbed in his chest, on seeing that, the eyes of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam streamed with tears. This is our beloved Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam that was crying for his beloved grandson. And you know, the Sahaba looked at him, and I think it was Sa'ad bin Ubadah, and he said, O Messenger of Allah, what is this? And Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam replied, it is compassion which Allah has placed in the hearts of his slaves. Allah is compassionate only to those amongst his slaves who are compassionate to others. And this hadith comes in Bukhari. So look at the beauty of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. You know, and we also see this in the story of Ibrahim alayhi salam, in the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam's son Ibrahim, when he passed away, and he was only an infant, and Ibrahim alayhi salam was in his last breaths. And I want you to picture this whole scene and make it visual for yourselves. And you know, the eyes of Allah's Messenger started shedding with tears, and Abdurrahman bin Auf said, O Messenger of Allah, even you are weeping. And he, Nabi sallallahu alayhi wasallam, said, O Ibn Auf, this is mercy. Then he sallallahu alayhi wasallam wept more and said, the eyes are shedding tears and the heart is grieved, and we will not say except what pleases our Lord. O Ibrahim, indeed we are grieved by your separation. And this too, it comes in Sahih Bukhari Sharif. So inshallah, just from these two authentic hadith, we can see the grief of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, how he expressed his grief, how the tears flowed from his eyes, from his Mubarak eyes, and he too felt this pain and the separation and this loss. The greatest man to ever walk the earth, the man who is closest to our hearts, grieved for his children and his grandchildren. So it is okay for us to do the same. However, we must always remember Allah in our grief and refrain from anything, you know, anything that will displease Him. And this we can see in the hadith of Ibn Umar. And you know, Ibn Umar radiallahu anhu reported the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wasallam, he visited Sa'ad bin Ubadah during his illness. He was accompanied by Abdurrahman bin Auf, Sa'ad bin Abu Waqas, and Abdullah bin Mas'ud. May Allah be pleased with all of them. The Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wasallam began to weep. When his companions saw his tears, also when the companions saw this, they also started to cry. You know, because just looking at Habibullah and the tears flowing in his eyes, this saddened the companions of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And then sallallahu alaihi wasallam, Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, "Do you not hear? Allah does not punish for the shedding of tears or the grief of the heart, but punishes or bestows mercy for the utterances of His." And he pointed to his tongue. And this also comes in both Bukhari and in Muslim. So Allah Ta'ala doesn't punish us for our tears. We need to cry, we need to weep, we need to, you know, process our emotions. And this is all part of the natural psychological processes of grieving and dealing with loss. We need to also be patient and show perseverance and seek reward in our hardship. Allah the Almighty says, you know, and He knows of our pain, and He will reward us greatly for exercising patience. Indeed, He promises paradise for those who adopt sabr. But these words shouldn't be used lightly and loosely and thrown about in times when we don't know how to console those that are grieving. So us that are going to see the bereaved and that are consoling the bereaved, choose your words kindly. Choose your words carefully and be considerate of what they might be going through. We will never understand their pain. We all have endured some kinds of loss, but everyone's loss is so different. Allah says in Surah Insan that He will reward them for what they patiently endured with a garden in paradise and silk garments. So that is guaranteed, my dear mothers and sisters, inshallah, where there will be no fatigue, no disease, nor sorrow, nor sadness, nor hurt, nor distress befalls a Muslim. And this comes in a hadith in Bukhari Sharif, and Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam goes on to say that even if you were pricked, he receives it from a thorn, except that Allah expiates some of his sins for it. So losing a child is an incredibly difficult experience to go through, but as Muslims we are fortunate to be promised the best reward for our patience. So when a child dies, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala asks His angels, "Have you taken the life of the child of my slave?" The angels reply in the affirmative. Then Allah asks them, "Have you taken the fruit of his heart?" Just listen to the words Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala uses, "the fruit of his heart." They reply in the affirmative. Thereupon He asks, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala asks the angels, and Allah knows everything, right? But He's asking the angels, "What has my slave said?" And the angels say, "He praised you, Ya Rabb. And he said, Inna lillahi wa inna ilayhi raji'un. To Allah we belong and to Him we will return." At that Allah replies, just by saying this, Inna lillahi wa inna ilayhi raji'un, Allah replies and He says, "Build a home for my slave in Jannah and call it Baytul Hamd." Subhanallah. And this comes in Tirmidhi. So as is clear from this hadith, losing a child is a great loss. And Allah anticipates how great a test this is. Alhamdulillah. By adopting patience at this time of losing a child, the parents have guaranteed themselves Jannah. Allah has promised that on the day of recompense, your child will return to you and not be, and you know, this child will not be at peace until he has secured your place in Jannah. Allah says in another saying, you know, "By Him in whose hand is my life, a child will pull his mother to Jannah if she is patient." So subhanallah, not only are children a source of paradise for their parents, they currently reside in Jannah and are being cared for by the great Prophet Ibrahim alayhi salam. And this is also reported in the traditions. And Allah's Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam very often used to ask his companions, you know, "Did any of you see a dream?" So dreams would be narrated to him by those whom Allah wished to tell. So one morning the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, "Last night two persons came to me in a dream and woke me up and said to me, 'Proceed, I set So Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam is telling the Sahaba congregation that I set out with these two people. And then Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam mentioned things and places that he had seen. And then he said, we proceeded and we reached a garden of deep green dense vegetation, having all sorts of spring colors. In the midst of the garden, there was a very tall man, and I could hardly see his head because of his great height. And around him, there were children in such a large number I have never seen. Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam is still continuing and he's explaining his dream to the Sahabas, and he said to the companions, who is this? And then they replied, proceed, this is what the angels are telling him, proceed. And then among the things the two companions said to Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam was, the tall man whom you saw in the garden is Ibrahim Alayhi Salaam, and the children around him are those children who die with al-fitra, the Islamic faith, subhanAllah. So these are all the children that have left this dunya before the age of baligh, subhanAllah. What a beautiful picture this depicts. Our beloved children are so well cared for in Jannah by Allah's best of friends, Ibrahim alayhi salam himself. They are playing in beautiful gardens of Jannah and enjoying all of its bounties. The intercession of the child for their parents, scholars have mentioned that the children who pass away at a young age will be waiting for their parents on the day of judgment, so they can take their parents by their hands into the gardens of bliss, subhanAllah. Another hadith, Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam said, and this is reported by Jabir ibn Abdullah, and he said, I heard the Messenger of Allah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, if anyone has three of his children die young and resigns them to Allah, he will enter the garden. So subhanAllah, there are numerous hadith honoring, you know, the parents and speaking about the hope and where the children are, but that doesn't take away the pain. And inshallah, we will be discussing more with Sister Zuleika after the break. Inshallah, we'll be discussing on how to deal with pain, how to deal with grief, how to nurture these ladies going through these difficulties, and how to be there for them, inshallah. The lines are open. The number to call is 011-854-1548. So like I was saying, this is an honor and a mercy to the parents and the child for which one should seek to be grateful, as thankfulness and patience increases one's reward tremendously, subhanAllah. You know, if we knew the afflictions of the Muslim, subhanAllah, if we knew why Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tests us in certain ways, our hearts will burst with joy knowing the reward that awaits us, subhanAllah. So the Messenger of Allah, may Allah be pleased with him, he says in another hadith something to the effect that, you know, that Jannah is guaranteed. Jannah is guaranteed for anybody going through any difficulty, and Jannah is guaranteed and a house is being built for that parent that loses a child in infancy or before the age of baligh. So this is something to think about and it's something to reflect upon. And this life is one of affliction. We've been speaking about trials, tests and tribulations for the last 2-3 weeks now. And this life is one of affliction, it's one of trials and it's one of tribulations. And the next life will be one of tremendous bounty, everlasting happiness and eternal paradise for the one who attains it. There will be such bounties in paradise that when the inhabitants will be asked if they had any difficulty in the life of this world, they will say, no, O Lord, such will be that their state in clothes of silk, in the gardens under which rivers flow. And we will say to Sayyidina Ibrahim alayhi salam, and place me among the inheritors of the gardens of delight. May Allah make us amongst them. And, you know, Allah alone gives success, inshallah. So, inshallah, after the break, we'll be crossing live to Durban, where I will be chatting to Sister Zuleika. And Sister Zuleika is a mother that has also lost a child some 12 years ago, and she's actually started an online support group on WhatsApp called Children of Jannah. You know, this Children of Jannah support group is actually UK based. It started in the UK after the sad loss of her nephew Hafidha Ismail, actually started the support group called Children of Jannah. You know, and it's touched by loss and grief, and she was very grieved after her nephew passed away, and Hafidha set out to establish the first charity especially for Muslim parents. And you know, this is so amazing, because alhamdulillah, we don't have such things, and maybe we don't even know about these things, but this, you know, if we feel like we need to consult people and we have the skills and we have the tools within us, we need to do more support groups like this in our area, specifically to the needs of our community, whether it's bereavement support groups or drug support groups, because amazing things happen in support groups. And alhamdulillah has given me the ni'mat of working in a support group for many years. We started Hijab Support Group in 2009, and I know from personal experience that amazing things, I always just say magic happens in support groups. So since the beginning in 2012, speaking of Children of Jannah, Children of Jannah has grown rapidly to become a widely praised charity, making progress and providing essential support and comfort to many parents and families. And today, alhamdulillah, Children of Jannah operates across the UK and internationally, and like I said earlier, that it's an, you know, including an online support group in South Africa. Children of Jannah has dedicated volunteer network and offers a range of resources, training and bereavement services. So inshallah, after the break, we'll be coming back and chatting to Sister Zuleika all the way from Durban, and she will be telling us more about her experience and how she started up Children of Jannah in South Africa. We will be back after the break, inshallah. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Welcome back to Radio Islam on Medium Wave 1548, coming to you live from our studios in Lanesia. My name is Tasneem on a Dhikrayat show, and today we'll be talking about trials, tests and tribulations, but also focusing on how to console those that are going through grief. And with me on the line, we have Sister Zuleika all the way from Durban. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
Wa alaikum salam wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh, Tasneem.
Ahlan wa sahlan. Welcome to the show, alhamdulillah. It's good to have you here.
Ameen. Jazakallah for having me on this show.
Okay, before the break, I was just talking to the listeners and I was explaining to them about Children of Jannah and how the group started off in the UK, and then you were actually one of the starters of the admin on the WhatsApp group, Children of Jannah. But maybe we can talk a little bit later about that. Sister Zuleika, please share some of your experiences and let us know what you've been going through.
Okay. Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Basically, it was on the 15th of November, 2011. Ibrahim was the youngest of my three sons. My son Yusuf was 12 years old at the time. Abdullah was 10, and Ibrahim was 5.5. He wasn't ill. It was a sudden death. Basically, he was just a bit restless the night before. And when we woke up in the morning, he was looking a bit lethargic, so I decided to take him to the doctor for a checkup. And when the doctor examined him, he couldn't find anything wrong. And as I was dressing him up again, I was chatting to the doctor, and the doctor noticed that he had some mottling on his legs. And this mottling wasn't there a few minutes ago. So he asked us to go to the pediatrician to check it out, but he even said that he didn't think it was anything serious. So we went to the pediatrician, and when we got there, we noticed that the mottling had gotten a bit worse. The pediatrician was also quite stumped with this, so he asked us to go across to the hospital and do some blood tests. Once we did the blood test, we still couldn't find anything wrong, but by now it was quite obvious that, you know, there was something. It's just that we didn't know what it was. But Ibrahim was quite fine, it's just that he was a bit lethargic. So the pediatrician called a pediatric hematologist to come and have a look at the results. And he said, in the meantime, maybe we should just do an ultrasound. And it was while we were waiting for our turn, the hematologist walked in, and she just began to examine him. And all of a sudden, she just said he's crashing. He basically just closed his eyes, and that was it.
Subhanallah. Jazakallah so much for sharing this. I know it's not easy to talk about this on the radio, but may this be a means of your healing and afia, and inshallah Allah take you from strength to strength. Subhanallah. You know, and jazakallah for coming on air. It's never an easy thing to talk about your loss and your pain. But can you take us through some of the emotions you experienced when you found out what was happened, you know, what had happened and what happened next then?
Alhamdulillah, I think on that day, through Allah's fiddle, he gave me calmness, and this calmness carried me through the day. You know, you mentioned earlier on in a hadith about your reaction at the moment.
Salamatul Ula, Ji.
And it just so happened that a few weeks before that, Ibrahim and I used to do bedtime stories with him.
Mm-hmm.
And we used to do a story, and then we used to do kalimas and duas, and we used to read from the Islamic bedtime stories as well. And this exact same hadith, we came across this hadith in the Islamic children's storybook.
SubhanAllah, it's almost as if Allah was preparing
Allah
you for that moment.
I truly feel it prepared me for that.
And Zulaika, isn't it amazing that, I mean, from your experience also, you'll be able to tell me more that, like, the things that you're going through, whatever you went through, it's like Allah Ta'ala had prepared you from before already, and you only realize that much later, I think, when you come to that point of acceptance.
No, definitely. When you look back in hindsight, mm-hmm. you realize there were so many little things. They were like mercies from Allah.
SubhanAllah, SubhanAllah. Tell us, who was supportive to you, and in what ways, and what can we teach the listeners out there on how to be supportive, just from the examples that you give us?
In our case, my family is in Johannesburg. My husband's family is also based in Johannesburg, and we in Durban. But my husband has a sister here in Durban, and there are some cousins. And basically, they all gathered around us, and, you know, they just closed ranks around us. So I had nothing to do on that day, and alhamdulillah, we were so lucky. But I think this happens across the country, you know, in the South African community. The community just gathers together, and, you know, they basically take care of you.
Alhamdulillah, and we're so fortunate in that regard, alhamdulillah.
Gee, and also I have three close friends. And really, I make so much of shukr for them. I make so much of dua. You mentioned the hadith as well, that those who comfort a grieved person, Allah reserves for them silk clothes in Jannah. And this is the dua I make for my friends.
Ameen.
Because between them, they had planned between themselves. And every morning and every afternoon, one of them will pop in. And when they were there, sometimes I would just talk about what happened. Some days I just wanted to share memories with them. And there were some days where you just needed to have a good cry. And they were always there, and they were always ready to listen to me. And I think this was one of the best things they could have did for me. And they actually carried on until I told them that, you know, I was okay now, and it was okay for them to stop.
MashaAllah, and that's beautiful. I mean, just the way you describe your friendship, and, you know, sometimes they would just sit there, and you would share memories and talk about, you know, your little boy, and alhamdulillah, that's such a beautiful way to grieve and to go through those moments. And alhamdulillah, you had that opportunity where people would be willing to listen to you. So in that way, alhamdulillah, you were so fortunate, you know. You mentioned, and they're very lucky they have your du'as, subhanAllah. May Allah Ta'ala, you know, give them whatever He has promised them, inshallah.
Ameen.
Sister Zulaika, you mentioned your other two sons, and how did they take the news? How old were they at the time?
They were 12 years old and 10 years old.
Okay, so they were also quite little themselves.
See, they were quite young at the time. And it's so sad that they had to go through such a test at such a young age.
Mm-hmm.
It was really heartbreaking. You know, that on its own is another test. It's a challenge.
SubhanAllah. I think that's a separate test. When, you know, when you think about it, losing a child is one test, and then losing a sibling, that's another pain altogether. And I don't even think we can compare the two, because each pain is so unique and so different. So Allah Ta'ala continue to grant them afia and make it easier for them also. How have they been, and what have they learned from this whole experience? How has it shaped them, and how has it shaped you as a family?
I think it made the Akhirah such a reality for us. Because, you know, we think of the Akhirah and we speak of the Akhirah, but somehow it's just become, it's no longer an abstract thing. It's become a reality for us.
SubhanAllah, and that is one of the biggest realizations that we all need to come to, because the closer we are in touch with our death, the closer we are in touch with our reality. And that's such an important point that you just made. And unfortunately, sometimes we have to go through such harsh realizations, you know. But inshallah, we should all, just learning from each other's examples, take cognizance of the fact that life does not go on, and death is the only reality, and everything belongs to Allah. Our children belong to Allah, we belong to Allah, we don't own anything. So subhanAllah, but like you said, it's a process, and it takes time, and you have to go through those different stages of grieving before you finally get to that level. And like I always say, acceptance is a ni'mah that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala blesses only a few. So if you find yourself accepting of your situation, mubarak to you, subhanAllah.
Ameen, Jazakallah. But I think that only comes from Allah.
Definitely.
And the du'as of, you know, your friends and your
Definitely.
Husband.
And I think it comes from a lot of hard work from yourself as well. So you should never doubt yourself and never cut yourself short, because, you know, Allah Ta'ala has given you the skills, and you've looked within yourself and utilized those skills to get better. SubhanAllah. So you've done an amazing job, and I think people can look at your life and, you know, feel hope that we can shift from victim to survivor, and inshallah, there is life after death in terms of life after loss.
Definitely. I think if we just keep ourselves in touch with the akhirah is a reality, and that, you know, it is our forever home. It just makes it so much easier to accept and to cope.
Mm-hmm, definitely. Were there any inappropriate statements made by people? I read an email out from one of the sisters, and you know that really touched my heart, that sometimes we're grieving and we're going through so much of pain, and then we still have to deal with family members saying nasty things to us, or sometimes even our own husbands distancing themselves from us. How have you experienced any such inappropriate statements?
Shukr, I think I was lucky in the sense that on that day, the people I had around me were so absolutely fantastic. Everybody just got on with what needed to be done. And alhamdulillah, you know, I'm lucky in that sense. But as the days went on, and a few days later, I started hearing that there were rumors and people were speculating about what had happened. And someone actually said that he got hit by a bus. And honestly, I can't understand how that story came about, because the guy never rode a bus in his life.
Okay.
And then there was another story that he drowned in our pool.
Okay.
And I was busy doing up my pool at the time, so it was empty.
Mm-hmm.
And then later, my husband and I were sitting and chatting, and we realized that, you know, people must have thrown the empty pool, and basically just came to that conclusion on their own. But I find, with regards to those inappropriate statements, generally I find that the people trying to sympathize, you know, out of ignorance, they don't realize when they're making statements, they'll say things like, oh, you're so lucky, don't be sad because he's in Jannah, or you're at least you have two other sons. And I can understand this, because people have a need to say something, and they only say things because they're trying to comfort you and they care for you.
Mm-hmm.
But the thing people need to realize is that, you know, we know that we're lucky, we still have two other sons. We know, alhamdulillah, he's still in Jannah. But that doesn't take away from the heartbreak. No, it doesn't mean that you're not allowed to experience the sadness, that you're not allowed to cry.
Definitely,
so like 100%. You said, our own Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, I mean, he cried when he lost his Ibrahim. And when the Sahaba questioned his tears, he said to them, the tears are a mercy from Allah. And I personally now know firsthand that it's better to lend a shoulder while someone cries out of grief, instead of trying to stop them, you know, making saying things like, don't cry, you need to be strong. Because grief, it can be very, very overwhelming. And instead of asking a person to suppress that grief, we should be supporting them, whatever outlet they use for that grief. You know, if they're crying, if they need to talk, if they need to share memories, just be there for the person.
Mm-hmm.
And tears are basically the easiest outlet, and they're so necessary to help release the intensity of your grief, because it can get so overwhelming. You have to have some form of outlet for that grief.
Definitely, we need some kind of release. And I remember reading somewhere once that inshallah those tears will be the extinguishing factor of your fires of Jahannam. So inshallah, may Allah Ta'ala, you know, make it easy for all of those that are going through whatever kind of loss, and you know, grant all the listeners out there afia. You know, in the beginning we mentioned the support group. Maybe you'd just like to share some light on the support group for the listeners out there.
Let me explain to you about the support group. Basically, like you said, it's based in the UK. It was started by a lady by the name of Hafiza Ismail, and she lost her nephew. And at the time, there was no Islamic support group for mothers and families who have lost children. And so she set up the startup this group. And I was looking for things online, and all I found was nothing Islamic, I mean, besides the Hadith. And alhamdulillah, Islam is so clear-cut about where our children are and the next step. But at the same time, we still have to deal with the reality of our grief. And so when I came across this group and I joined the group, and it was so fantastic, because grief can be so isolating. And unless you don't have a structure of people around you who've been through and experienced similar, nobody's experience is the same. But if you know there are others out there going through the same emotions, having the same feelings, it just makes all the difference. And as time went on, Hafiza put together a support pack, and some of us helped her with some of the articles for the pack. And then from there, we started a local WhatsApp group and to help distribute the pack. And it eventually became a forum for support as well.
SubhanAllah. And I think I'll give out details of the support group later on at the end of the show. But just quickly in closing, before you go, how did you deal with your grief? Tell us, what did you do in order to, you know, deal with your grief?
I myself, I'm not really a talker.
MashaAllah, you speak very well, Sister Zuleika.
From Allah, alhamdulillah.
Alhamdulillah.
But the thing is, your grief, it definitely needs to be addressed, because it can leave you so exhausted. You know, you can do nothing on a specific day, and you still end up feeling so drained. And it's not just emotionally, but it's physical as well. It can be so debilitating. But alhamdulillah, I found my outlet for my grief through writing. Initially, I kept a journal. Then I wrote a few poems, and eventually I wrote a blog. And it proved to be so therapeutic, because it was actually a means of releasing my pain and all the emotions.
SubhanAllah, that's brilliant, and that's, you know, so cathartic also, because like you said, it's a therapeutic experience, and it can release a lot of built up pain and emotion. And alhamdulillah, I think also when we're writing, we lose our inhibition, so it allows us to be free. And emotional writing is an amazing experience. So alhamdulillah, jazakallah so much for sharing that with the listeners. And if the listeners would like to read your blog, what is the link to your blog?
It's osmanzuleika@wordpress.com.
Okay. Jazakallah so much, Sister Zuleika. It was an absolute pleasure having you on air. Like I said in the beginning, before you came on, that it's an extremely difficult thing for you to do. But alhamdulillah, mashallah, you did extremely well. May Allah Ta'ala take you from strength to strength and continue to use you as a means of inspiration and motivation and hidayah for all those out there, inshallah. Jazakallah so much. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
Wa alaikum salam wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Jazakallah, Tasneem.
Ameen.
I hope it's been a benefit for some people out there. Please.
Allah accept, inshallah. Ameen. And we will be back after the break, inshallah. Ahlan wa sahlan. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. My name is Tasneem on Adh-Dhikriyat, and we were discussing how to deal with grief and how to console people that are going through grief. Today's topic was bereavement, and specifically focusing on the loss of a child. Alhamdulillah, like I've been saying over the last 2 weeks, I've been in contact with the mums on the groups, the two support groups that I've mentioned, Children of Jannah and Super Mums for Superheroes, and alhamdulillah, the response has been phenomenal. Unfortunately, I won't be able to get through all the responses, but I just want to personally thank all the mums on these groups for sharing so openly. You know, these are not easy things to talk about, but while we still have time, I just want to read through some of the responses. The lines are open if anybody would like to respond or comment or just share some words of comfort for the mums listening out there. The number to call is 011-854-1548. So I received one of the responses from one of the mums that were going through some pain, and she said, personally, I feel that it's better for people to just not say anything than trying to fill the void by saying something. Because often, even though they're trying to be nice and in their minds are consoling you, it's not helpful at all. In fact, it's more hurtful. And people say things like, be happy, they're not suffering anymore, or make sugar for the children that you do have, that you still have. And, you know, people also say, you're still young, you can have lots more children. And other such silly things. No other child you will ever have will ever replace the one you lost. Also, sometimes people say, be happy, they're in a better place. But even though you know that in your heart, and at that point in your grief, it's not what you want to hear. All you want is your child back with you. So just be there for that person, even if it means just being there. Also, what I found quite annoying was when people kept asking, how are you doing? Sometimes I want to just scream and say, how do you think I'm doing? Just leave me alone. Something that somebody told me that really touched home was, you know, they said, my daughter's time on earth was already written by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and Allah knew it wasn't long, and in His wisdom and mercy gave her that sickness just so you could spend extra time with her, which you wouldn't have spent had she not been sick. So Allah was giving you all that one-on-one time only with her to make up for the time that she won't be around. And when I thought about it, it was true. Because from the time she got sick, at times we would be together 24/7 for sometimes 6 weeks at a time in hospital, when I would only see my boys on a Sunday afternoon for a few minutes or hours. And we would spend all day together in hospital when going in as outpatients too, for weeks on end, and had she not been sick, she would have been at school or out with friends, etc., and I wouldn't have spent so much time with her. That gave me some comfort. And something else the lady responded, and she said that, you know, she found it helpful when people would come and share a happy or humorous memory they had with the child, or something she used to do, or things that reminded them of her. So maybe a good thing would be to share a good memory of the person with their loved ones. Also something that I came across, that people who lost their children want people to just acknowledge that those children are real, that they were here, that they existed. And this is a very important, you know, point for us as people that want to console people going through grief, is asking them about this child and speaking about the child, making the child a reality that the child was here, instead of just avoiding the topic and sweeping things under the carpet. I think that actually makes them feel even worse. Another response I just want to go through: I have a problem getting my husband to talk, and this I found really interesting because sometimes this affects the husband and wife relationship. So I just want to read you this response, and the mother said, "I have a problem getting my husband to talk. He goes into very bad bouts of depression because he blames himself. He then takes sleeping tablets and sleeps in the day and walks around the house all night when no one is awake. It isn't healthy and often not healthy for our marriage. He doesn't let me in and he won't let go either. How do I help him? The minute he senses I'm trying to get him to talk or anything, he becomes very angry and gets quite nasty towards me. How do you as a wife and husband support each other?" And the response, the lady was really stumped. She said, "It's really hard and I've tried everything. And he refuses counseling, saying that he's fine. But I know he really isn't." So sometimes this does, obviously it affects the dads as well, and it affects the marital relationship. Assalamu alaikum. We have a caller on the line.
Walaikum salam wa rahmatullah. Hi, this is Stephanie.
Alhamdulillah, how are you?
Alhamdulillah, it's Auntie Rabia speaking.
How are you, Auntie Rabia?
Alhamdulillah.
Welcome to the show.
Jazakallah. I spoke to you before.
Gee, I recognize your voice.
Sister, how do you go tell the person you can make sabar when you lose a child? As it is, you know, it's hard to console somebody when he's an adult also.
Mm-hmm.
To console someone who lost a child, like a baby was just born and then just passed away, or a person who is had a stillborn, like we had in our family, my nephew, this thing. It's hard.
It's very difficult.
It's very difficult.
And like the mom said, sometimes...
Then I make sure they in Jannah, they will take you all in Jannah. But I feel crying when I do that.
And like the mommy said, they know all of those things already. Sometimes that's the last things they want to hear. But us, you know, us as people that want to go and console, sometimes we want to fill in the blanks. Like the mom said, sometimes it's better not to even say anything. Because as Muslims, we know, as believers, we need to have sabr. We need to turn to Allah. We need to take this opportunity to get closer to Him. We know our children are in Jannah. But I think just to repeat this to the mothers, they don't really appreciate it in that moment. Maybe afterwards, you know, it takes time. It takes time.
Even with adults now.
It's a process, Auntie Rabia, it's a process.
No, because, sister's name, I lost a lot of adults in my family in 6 months.
Mm.
Like, every 6 weeks we had a funeral.
Subhanallah, Allah make it easy for you.
No, but what I'm saying, when somebody says, oh, the thing, I jazakallah, you know, they won't come if they don't care.
Mm.
They won't come and sit, they won't bring things. And they won't come and read the Yasin.
I think that really helps, you know, reading the Yasin, sitting next to the bereaved, you know, just hugging them, consoling them, you know, making them
and
a cup of tea.
And we have a very big family.
I mean,
cousins and uncles, children, and, you know, and the community where I used to live before I lived this side. They are close, we're very close in the community.
Mm-hmm.
Everybody knows you. Especially when I go to my brother's house now, there's no parents' house anymore. We will say, oh, so nice you came for a really nice break. I just came to see my family, my nephews and my nieces and my children. My children are grown up, but they took it badly because my father
not ease your pain also.
No, because when you see, I was 3 weeks married, and my parents, you know, brought my children up.
Mm-hmm. So they took your dad as a father, gee. Allah Ta'ala eased their loss.
Because
that was like their father figure to them.
Yeah.
And Auntie Rabia, we're going to chat again next week, inshallah.
Time
is almost up. Jazakallah so much for your lovely contribution. Keep us in your du'as, inshallah. You too, inshallah. And remember all the mummies that are bereaved out there, inshallah, and keep them in your du'as.
Allah
grant them all afia, inshallah. Okay. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Okay, just before the call in, I just want to end on this note because it's not like we've forgotten the dads out there. You know, another response that came in from the support group, and it said that one of the couples had been to a psychologist, and the psychologist told them that many men think they are fine and refuse to get help because they think that it's their ego. But they definitely, inshallah, once they go for the therapy, it allows them that outlet and they do open up and the results are amazing, and inshallah, it can be a very cathartic experience. Another response came in and it said that the Sunday after my son's mayat, my husband woke up and just cried and cried, and he shouted and he passed out and he woke up and he cried and he felt like he was suffocating, and then he passed out again and he woke up and he stared in the ceiling, then he cried and he kicked and he shouted and all his emotions were going through him, and then eventually he just sat on his musalla and he cried to Allah and he made such an emotional dua that even the wife sitting on the bed listening to him started to cry. So inshallah, let this be a means of our own awakening, that Allah Ta'ala lift the veil from our hearts, inshallah, and make this life a reality for us so we can focus on the akhirah, inshallah. May Allah Ta'ala grant all the bereaved out there afia and make it easy for them, inshallah, and ease their losses. And from me, Sister Tasneem, and my wonderful engineer, Brother Jahangir, inshallah, we will be back next week, Tuesday, on Adhikriyat. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.